The last word on Today FM with Matt Cooper.
What's your view on people getting alcohol from pubs that they then consume on the street, either with one or more friends? Is it something you've done yourself? Is it something you think should be stopped? What harm is it doing? Our first guest is Fine Gael Senator Mary Siri Carney. We've been seeing, Mary, that Taoiseach Micheál Martin is annoyed by this and apparently will be bringing proposals to Cabinet tomorrow. What do you make of it?
Well, I think over the weekend, Matt, we have seen sights of South William Street in Dublin, and there were others in Cork apparently, but of people gathering en masse. I observed it myself coming through it on my way home on Friday, and then there were the recorded social media clips for Saturday. And what I observed was up to 200 people for the full length of the street, sitting in all of the doorways and on all of the steps. So that is something quite standing in challenge to the current restrictions and the current level 5 restrictions and the requirements of people not to meet in those sort of close quarters with each other.
But what harm is it doing if people are in the open air? Surely the virus is much less likely to transmit itself in the open air than it would in an enclosed environment.
People are not adhering to, they're not wearing masks and they're not adhering to social distancing. So it's one thing being out in the open air, but it's another thing meeting in flagrant abuse of the guidelines and not adhering to them. I mean, we all need to have a common sense approach to this, and we need to make sure that we abide by them, take personal responsibility. You know, people I have observed when I'm out walking in the parks, I've observed people meeting for birthdays with children or grandchildren and handing over a balloon in the park. People are making huge personal sacrifices of not having guests to their home, not having guests to their gardens. So the idea that people meet in groups and sit in doorways along South William Street drinking, and then as a consequence of drinking, their own natural adherence to proper distance and proper protocols is diminished by their capacity and being diminished by their alcohol use. So I think that we need to contrast a small group that are going home to work, going home, being in contact with other people, having been in close quarters and not adhering to proper guidelines for COVID restrictions, and they're going out, and there's a possibility for them of community transmission. And we see the figures rising, and that just can't happen.
Okay, but what about the possibility that a lot of these people are going out because if they're just going crazy, stuck at home, they're going stir crazy? Most people wouldn't want to be standing out in the rain and the cold drinking a pint or a cocktail unless they were absolutely and utterly fed up at home and maybe suffering mental health issues as a result of the confinement.
And you know what? I agree with that, that there are people who are very definitely, we are all fed up with the restrictions and the fact that our lives have to be so carefully planned. But that's not okay when we're dealing with a pandemic. This is a temporary situation. This time will pass. People have the opportunity to speak on the phone, the opportunity to make plans. We are all looking forward to Christmas. We're all looking forward to what the Taoiseach called a meaningful Christmas. We're all looking forward to that possibility. I have family members I haven't seen in months because they live in different counties. I'm godmother to a child. I was godmother by Zoom in her christening because they live in Athlone and I'm in Dublin. There's lots, everyone across the community, we are looking forward to meeting up at Christmas. But this is going to be jeopardised, and the possibility of businesses opening up, of the retail sector and the hospitality sector, who have made huge sacrifices, all of those advances are going to be lost, all of those gains are going to be lost if we don't hold out. And now we're at the last hurdle. We have another 2 weeks of the level 5. Let's really stick to it. Let's really adhere to the restrictions in the hope that then we can look at a brighter and more promising get-together at Christmas.
So okay, Larissa Nolan is with us as well, a journalist who wrote in the Sunday Independent yesterday about her experiences on a recent trip to Lisbon. How did you get to Lisbon, Larissa?
I had to go there for work, Matt. And can I say that I was actually quite apprehensive about going over because, you know, we hear all these stories about, you know, everywhere is on lockdown and, you know, is it safe to travel? And, you know, apart from the military operation that it takes to to get you out of your domestic life and out of the country in the first place. I was also quite nervous about leaving Ireland. I think as you would be, because we're here all the time. We're kind of marooned here on the island due to the pandemic. It takes an awful lot of work to find out the exact restrictions going on in every other country. They change all the time, of course. So you kind of have this idea that everybody is living in the same kind of life that we are. But when you do get out for valid reasons, as was in my case, you find a different picture when you get there.
Okay, and apply that to what's going on in Ireland. Actually, just first of all, do you agree with this idea that there should be restrictions on people getting takeaway pints and drinking them in streets because they're tending to congregate?
Absolutely not, because we don't really have proof of that apart from a couple of spy cams on social media of people who support a surveillance society, which I think is actually more disgraceful than the scenes that they're commenting on. I mean, anybody who lives in the city, and lots of us do, you know, you could be walking down the street and someone could pass you by and then another group could go by and you take a photograph of that or a short video of a few minutes of something, and it can be used then by one person who gets a million social media likes. And then suddenly it becomes the defining narrative, the reality. It's not actually the reality. It's a very small amount of people breaking out of an extremely difficult situation that is completely the human condition. It's also an indicator to me that these rules that we're living on, which are some of the strictest, we're one of the strictest, if not the strictest lockdown in the world. For me, if I was a politician, I'd be looking at this and saying, we're pushing this too far. This is bursting out the sides. We need to do something else here to give people a little bit of a break, because that's a kind of democratic message as far as I'm concerned. That's a democratic message of the people saying that we need to do something. You have to give us something to help us here. But I don't believe for one second that this is happening all the time. And in fact, I know it's not, because I'm in the city centre. But there's a really worrying thing about this reaction, Matt, as far as I'm concerned. And it's the immediate knee-jerk reaction of the government that are we going to have COVID regulations now brought in on the basis of Twitter? Like Twitter conversations and social media define what regulations
okay,
we bring
Larissa,
in.
I'll come back to you about Portugal in a second. So Senator Mary Siri Carney, is that where we're at now? A surveillance society. And if we see a few video images of things we don't like, government puts in further restrictions.
I couldn't agree more in that we don't want a surveillance society. Privacy is very much my thing. So no, I don't want a surveillance society. However, I do see what I observe myself. And that was people wrapped up, ready to be out in the open and ready to be there socialising and having their pints and sitting in very close quarters, not just to their own groups, but to groups of other people. Now, that is a deliberate breaking of the regulations. It's by a very small cohort. So we can't judge everybody by that small cohort, because the vast majority of people are adhering. The vast majority of people do see the greater good, and that is that this time will pass, that we will get our economy and our businesses open and people back into a normal life. This time we have good news today on a vaccine again. So this time will pass, and we need to be looking forward to that. But in the here and now, it isn't helpful for people to be sitting around and deliberately breaking the restrictions. The restrictions
okay,
are there.
Okay, let me go back to Larissa.
No,
so.
The thing is, will it pass? Because what we're looking at the moment is 6 weeks, which is stronger than anywhere else and longer than anywhere else. 6 weeks of a lockdown, a full lockdown, on the basis of very low, thank God, deaths and low hospital admissions and low ICUs. We went straight for the button. Now the government is actually in the weak position because nobody has anything to lose anymore. And I think what we're seeing here at the moment is a kind of civil disobedience. You know, the Martin Luther King rule that, you know, you must, as a person of justice, obey just rules, but you also have a moral obligation to disobey unjust rules. And if I was in the government at the moment, what I would be looking at here, and I would be saying, are we asking too much of people? Because what they can see coming forward is not hope. All they can see is level 3, which is sitting outside with a maximum of 15 people outside of a restaurant, no matter how big that restaurant is, freezing in the cold in outdoors, when other countries all across Europe are managing to obey COVID precautions and live safely as possible without making this the only thing to do. And I think if I was in the government, I would be really listening to that voice of young people who are taking the hardest hit. And if they're going out, I think, so what? So what if you go out into the air? You're 19 times more likely to get
but
the
Larissa,
virus when
what
you're
did you see in Portugal? What were they doing in Lisbon? Were you able to go and drink at a restaurant or pub?
Well, I have to say, I didn't realise how much of a vice grip this was around my head and everybody else's head, because I'm in my 40s. I have quite a quiet life, and I think it's easy probably for us who are a little bit older to look and say, oh, sure, why can't other people do it? But, you know, and I really, really feel sorry for people in their 20s. I'd be on the streets protesting if I was that age. But as a person, just a normal person who doesn't have that much of a social life even, I got to Lisbon, I landed, and one of the first things that happened was I was coming in the taxi. I looked down first of all from the plane and saw this jewel box of Lisbon, which was still functioning, still lit up. I got to the city. I'm driving through in a taxi and looking at open shoe shops, open clothes shops. Now, then I get and I go to the hotel, which I actually could not believe that I was booking into a hotel. This, within a matter of weeks, had become something that was completely foreign to me, this idea that I could do this. You know, I was looking at commerce going, how is that allowed? How is it not banned? So that's how much we have become institutionalized by what we're doing. So, I mean, I couldn't believe it. Okay, I'll tell you what, the good news of it was that everywhere it was very, very much policed, and I mean literally policed. You have to wear a mask indoors and outdoors in Lisbon. So everybody's wearing these medical masks. They're very, very serious about that. There's a fine if you're caught not wearing one. There's numbers reductions in restaurants. People are allowed to eat inside because they're not being infantilized by their own government. So you can come inside, but there are only a certain amount of people allowed inside. Everybody's very, very much spaced apart, and restaurants close at a certain time.
And what are their numbers like for cases and for hospital admissions and ICUs and deaths?
Yeah, so like across the rest of Europe, of course, we have Switzerland as well as another country whereby, you know, for example, in parts of Switzerland, you can, I think it's 100 people allowed maximum in a club or a bar. I mean, the rest of us don't even know what a club or a bar is anymore. Of course, Switzerland is badly hit. Austria is badly hit. Portugal, obviously, the cases have gone up as ours have gone down. But, I mean, that's because we have literally shut and closed the country. Of course, cases will be there. They won't have the other issues bursting out the sides as much as we have, which will be the economic issues and the social issues and the health issues. Of course, their cases are going to be going higher as ours go lower in complete lockdown. But, you know, you're not going to have any car crashes if you shut all the roads either. So what I feel like what they have been doing there, my experience of it, and as I was saying to you earlier in the conversation, that I was nervous going there. I was afraid about what I would see. What I found there was I was actually safer in Portugal, in Lisbon, than I feel here at home in Dublin, because of the fact that everything is so, the restrictions are taken so seriously and they're followed so much to the letter that people are actually allowed to live. They're not so afraid of dying that they're scared to live.
Okay. Thank you very much, Larissa Nolan and Fine Gael Senator Mary Searle Kearney. This is a topic we'll be returning to with Professor Jack Lambert and Dan O'Brien after 5 o'clock on the programme here on The Last Word of Today FM.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Listen live, on air, from 4:30 weekdays on Today FM.